Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And now that the season's in full swing, the action is still unfolding. So head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so many storylines across both pro and collegiate sports, this is the time to check out all that DraftKings has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when placing a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State. You bet $1 on them, and you cash $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we waited a really long time for this first game, and at least we got an exciting game, right?
I mean, it came down to the wire. You got 60 minutes worth plus, so I think that's a good thing. But I think there were all kinds of, if you're a Penn State fan watching that game, you got all kinds of agonizing moments, really at all points along the way. Obviously, the most agonizing being the end. But I think when Penn State really lost its way in the middle of the game, that had to have been very, very frustrating to watch, too. So it was a mixed bag for sure.
And I've never hidden the fact that I'm an out-and-out fan. I'm not sure I've witnessed a game that was more of a roller coaster ride from the start of the game, going the length of the field, scoring a touchdown, then a three-and-out. You felt so good, and then the roller coaster ride just kept going from there. Dustin, let's do things in reverse order here with this game, because there was a couple major things that happened, and I want to start with the very last play of the game. First of all, Tom Allen, coach of Indiana, give him lots of credit for choosing to go for 2 points and going for the win at the end of the game. Gutsy call, great call. Michael Penix, the quarterback, rolls out, dives for the pylon. Did he get in?
Well, I think it was one of those classic calls where whatever was called on the field, I did not see it being overturned. I do feel if it was ruled the same, if it was ruled the opposite way, the outcome would have been the same. They would have looked at it on replay. They looked at it for a long time. We didn't really ever get, as far as I saw, a clear explanation for the position of the ball versus the pylon versus the white goal line. And my thought was, as I'm watching it, is they're not going to overturn this, not because the ball hit out of bounds before it hit the pylon. I think that was pretty clear. It was just the nose of the football relative to the actual goal line, and that didn't have a whole lot of clarity there either. So I think, I mean, to me, just my amateur eye, that was the issue, was not the pylon, but the goal line itself. And you could not tell where the nose of the football was relative to that white line. And, you know, because of that, because of the lack of clarity, Penn State was just on the receiving end of a really, really difficult call to swallow. One of these two teams was going to be on the receiving end of that. It happened to be Penn State.
Obviously, Dustin, you have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. As a Penn State fan, I saw very clearly that the ball hit out of bounds first. Now, to your point, the question became not whether it hit the out of bounds. It did hit out of bounds before it hit the pylon. I don't think there's any doubt about that part, correct?
Correct. Yeah. If you look at the replay, the back end of the ball hit out of bounds before it hit the pylon. My thing was, it was just, I think it was the nose of the football relative to the goal line, and that being ambiguous. It may have, the nose of the football may have crossed the plane of the goal line. It may not have. I think the fact that you couldn't really tell from, I think, any of the replay angles is what made them uphold the call.
Well, here's the thing, Dustin. I don't believe it did. You're right, first of all, about the angle that they showed it at. You were from the out of bounds, further upfield, if you will. So you weren't looking right down the goal line. So it gave the impression that the point of the ball, nose of the ball, may have been across the goal line at that point. But if you think about it, and you could kind of fool around with this, you know, in your own house and try it. But when you look at things from that angle, of course it's going to look that way. Now, I did see a replay from behind the end zone, and I don't know if they ever showed that on TV. I saw this online, and you had a better look at the ball being like parallel to the goal line as opposed to at that kind of angle. I think the permutation of those two, and they have talked about you can use two different angles and merge them, I think that would show that the ball wasn't across the goal line.
Indisputably so. I think that was just the lack of indisputable evidence. It's just the nature of replay, especially when there's a moment of that magnitude. I don't think it should come down to the human factor, but sometimes it does. I just don't think they saw enough to overturn it. And I think it would have been the same situation the other way around. It might have run directly parallel the nose of the ball to the goal line. It might have snuck across. I don't think you had a replay that you could say for 100% fact. Do you?
Dustin, as someone here who is in charge of the show and actually signs your checks.
Sure.
I think it's very important that by the end of this segment, I convince you.
Okay.
That it was short. I think that it's kind of like in the courtroom. It's beyond a reasonable doubt, not beyond a shadow of a doubt. And they will say, I forget the wording they use, overwhelming evidence or whatever, but I believe they've overruled things on less than this. I'll give you my instinct watching the game live. As the play happened and I see him hitting the pylon, I said, that's it. Touchdown, he scored. The very first replay they showed, you see the ball bounce off the ground before it hits the pylon. That told me right instantly, I said, that's it. They have to overturn this. Penn State won the game. That was my emotional roller coaster seeing it as it played out. So are you ready to change your mind because of that now?
No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is, like, I just don't I couldn't say it with 100% certainty. I did the same thing. Each replay angle I saw, and I did see the one from the back of the end zone, and it does look to me like, you know, maybe the ball did not ever cross that white plane. But it is a thin, thin line, and I just, you know, obviously they didn't see enough. And I think maybe some of that is just the magnitude of the call and not being able to overturn literally the outcome of the game on something that you couldn't be 100% sure about. I think that was the issue. Now, whether it did or didn't, I've gone back and forth really this whole time. I really don't know for sure. And I think the officials felt the same way, which is why we're here talking about it.
And I kind of get that, the indisputable evidence. One of the things that I think should be pointed out here, and I'm intrigued by the ruling, is I never really gave this much thought, but the pylon actually sits out of bounds. The pylon is not in bounds, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So, you know, and I believe that they have just come to the standard that if a player dives for the pylon and hits the pylon, the assumption is it must cross the plane inside the pylon, and it is a touchdown. It'd be almost physically impossible to hit that pylon running from inbounds, hit the pylon, and not have part of the ball cross the plane into the end zone. Go ahead.
It's possible. It's possible to have to wrap that ball around and touch only the outside part of the pylon when the ball sits out of bounds. And I frankly don't know the rule book well enough to say for sure what that means.
Well, I think it's actually become a standard call that if they hit, and again, think about what you're talking about, I believe is correct. Imagine, and no player would ever do this, running along the sidelines, holding the ball out of bounds, you know, in the air, so he's not out of bounds, bringing the ball in and touching the pylon. My assumption is that he'd be considered out of bounds. But nobody does that. You're always attacking the pylon from in the field of play. What I was getting to is if there was ever a situation where the ball wasn't so much at an angle crossing the plane, it was with Michael Penix, and the way he was so far towards the out of bounds with his body as he was pushing the ball forward, he was almost, like I said, it felt like the ball was almost parallel to the goal line, where I believe it hit the ground first before hitting the pylon. What's interesting, Dustin, is a couple things that have happened. You know, there were some national people who, it's, you don't see this very often, actually coming out and saying they thought the call was wrong. DraftKings is actually refunding those for those people who bet on Penn State to win the game. They were refunding them because of this call. So that's kind of fascinating. And I guess my last question for you, Dustin, is, and we've seen this in the Big Ten, certain teams seem to get the calls, and maybe I'm saying that as a Penn State homer, but do you think Ohio State in this situation would have gotten the call as opposed to Penn State?
I think whoever was on the receiving end of the way the call stood on the field, I understand that some teams do get calls and do get a little bit more favorable treatment, but in the flash of that moment, I don't think that bias factors into an official's head. And then I think it's just a matter of not seeing enough on replay to overturn it. I don't care who the team was.
Well, I think there was also a little momentum for Indiana to they're at home, although I know it's not a huge crowd, but I think a lot of the momentum was going that way. All right, Dustin, plenty more to talk about, and we will get to it in quarter number two.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiasts, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. Get in on all the football action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.